Is there any comment for anything not on the agenda? Ona?
Thank you, Art, for putting the road sign finally back up. That was going to be my first thing because our road sign had been down for 3 weeks. Speaking of road signs, is there any way possible, I don't care if somebody just paints it on a piece of plywood or whatever, to put a truck's turning sign down where our trucks are turning around in, what is it, Goat's Driveway?
Used to be Mr. Goat's Driveway, yes.
And the reason I ask this is because the speed limit's 45 miles an hour. Of course, everybody knows I don't drive that fast. But, and I happened to see the truck coming down to back in there. Just as I got to that corner, Art was pulling out with a loaded truck. And that's really a blind corner. If somebody had been doing 45 miles an hour and didn't realize the truck was there, Art and I were both at the point where it's like, who's gonna stop? And a loaded truck coming up that hill can't even get 25 miles an hour by the time you get up to the top of the hill.
Okay.
I think there should be a warning sign of trucks entering or trucks turning or something there for safety's sake.
Okay, we'll look into that. Anything else? Any other public comment? Okay, review of agenda.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of things I'm hoping it won't add hours to the meeting. 7E, which is our business to be discussed, I've got a request from Wade Major from VLCT. He wants to come to town and do a town building hazard inspection. I guess we just need to have, I'll discuss it, but basically we just need to pick somebody to be in contact with him. 7F, I want to put the LaFlamme property purchase. There's an update and also some questions from Ellen that we need to discuss as a board. Under 6F, I think it would be the best place. It says highway department hire. I'd like to be able to discuss and perhaps authorize the road commissioner to hire temporary skilled equipment operators, laborers, and or contractors. And then two other items that just got to be under six somewhere is termination of highway employee, demotion of highway employee, and short-term hiring of a road foreman.
Neil, you asked for those questions. You sent those questions. Do you want those to be answered in this public meeting?
I have ignored.
Has anybody looked at Scott's answers to those questions?
Yep.
And do we want to do that tonight, or do you want to put that off?
I want to put it off.
I would prefer not to have it tonight. I don't have my questions in front of me.
Okay, then we won't do that tonight, but we will put it on.
Put it on the agenda.
Put it on the next agenda. Okay, and any other additions?
No, everything I have is under road commissioner, so.
We need.
Maybe we should look at a possible road commissioner hire, according to the email that I saw.
So you want to put that down here as well?
Yep.
The only thing that I would like to add is, at some point, and we don't have to do it tonight, but we need to, we need a short discussion as to whether we're going to do any maintenance on the highway garage in order to get it ready so that we can get it painted at some point. We got a bid last year from John Sine to do clapboards and such.
We can either put it under my thing, because I've been meaning to mention that, but I don't want
to. Okay, well, let's put it up there then.
All right.
Because if we're going to do something about that, we need to get on it. All those, I need a motion for adding these items to the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of adding these items?
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. We need minutes approval for 4-3, 4-19, and 4-22. Anybody have any questions or changes on those?
Yeah, I've got some clarifications and one correction. For the April 3rd minutes under B3B, I guess it is, the Purple Crown tax exemption discussion, I just want to make it clear that it was not an objection that I raised. It was actually a point of order. And the point of order was specifically that the subject that was being discussed was not a matter that is before the select committee. So I think that needs to be clear in the minutes. Under the road commissioner's update for those minutes, I think it also needs to be clarified that the issue around the time clock was raised primarily because the question arose whether we're using it or not. And even though there really may have been a dispute over time entries, the real issue that was raised is whether or not we're actually using it. And that's not really reflected in the minutes. And the last point is, I don't recall exactly what the discussion was around under F. It talks about a personnel policy for the six-month assessment needs to be finalized. And I don't recall it being discussed in that way, but in our personnel policy, there's plenty of latitude for an assessment to occur at any point during a year, whether it's a six-month assessment or otherwise. So I'm not sure there really is a need, and whether we discussed a need for a new policy statement in regard to that. So I'm not sure that's what we talked about, but I think it should at least be clear that our personnel policy does actually allow for reviews at any point of the year. And then finally, in the 4-19 minutes, a correction that the under, where is it? Under the FEMA update, the amount of $43,000, if that was the amount that we're going to finally see in the end, I'm not sure if that's the right amount. But the starting amount, the amount that's in our project, is $52,127.40, of which the town should realize at some point in the future, Neil, 75% from FEMA and 12.5% from the state. So the actual project cost amount is $52,127.40. So I think the minutes should reflect that number. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. I should have read the next. So it's just that amount is actually in the next line. So I totally missed it. So I guess 43.30 is the calculated amount, Tom?
That was what I had for what FEMA was paying.
Okay.
And the $52,127.44 was the total project.
Gotcha. Cost. Okay, I stand corrected then. So it's right.
Yeah.
I need a motion regarding the minutes and the corrections.
So moved. Oh, I move that we approve the 4-3, 4-19, 4-22 minutes with the stated clarifications I just made. I guess we can modify those.
Yeah, I can't modify the 4-3 minutes because it's only in PDF.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of adopting those minutes with corrections?
Aye.
Any opposed? Warrants for payment? Frank, you have those?
Yeah, I've got them.
Would you read those?
Yeah, there are two of them. The first one is warrant 18101. It's for the amount of $21,802.86. And then 18098 is payroll, and the gross amount is
$9,089.90. And are you going to make that into a motion?
Oh, I move that we approve those, sorry.
Has everyone had a chance to look at those?
Yes.
We need a second.
Second.
All those in favor of paying those two warrants? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Done. We'll have the road commissioner update when we get done signing these. Can we amend this agenda one more time to indicate a couple of decision on a CD that are coming due on the Le Bounty Fund?
I just figured I had it under 7F, the Le Bounty purchase. I thought maybe
that, can we put it there as well?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking because it's all relevant to that.
Okay.
Okay,
we have a road commissioner update.
Okay. I'll try to move through it pretty quickly. I'll take care. I see cracks ceiling is down in business discussion. I'll just hit that too so we don't have to remember to come back to it. Got a notice today from the from a representative of the state of Vermont. VLCT is not handling the salt bid this year, but another branch of VTrans. So I've sent in a request indicating that we'd be interested in being part of the bid process because we've taken advantage of it for the last few years. So I've sent all the information, and I think I forwarded an email to everybody indicating that. The crack ceiling, I'm still at just one person that has given a response, and it's not in the form of a bid. They claim they're not familiar with bidding by the day, which is what I remember before. We purchased so much crack ceiling per day. Their proposal is, or want us to propose, that they'll crack seal at a certain amount of 500 gallons of crack sealant per day. And if they go over, they'll charge us whatever the materials are. And if we go under, I assume that it'll be less too. But they want a more finite thing rather than just a per day bid or proposal.
Is that the people that did it before?
No, Nikon, the people that did it the last time have not responded, and I've emailed them a couple of times. And I know they're still in business because I saw them crack sealing on the interstate last week. So I hate to report that that's still, I just iron out the details.
That basically, that kind of grant work is really slow. And so I did express to the state our interest after we voted on it, whenever it was, that we wanted to pursue that, but we've never heard anything since then.
That being taken, I wouldn't mind just sending the guys there and at least shoring up what we've got. I mean,
well,
I think
that's,
we have a right to do that.
When I drove by it, I remembered that it was there.
Yep.
It certainly looks like it's washed a little more. And
yep.
I just thought, if we can't get, if you have to have Jensen come and look at that other, if we're going to get into the water and he has to look at, it'd be good to have him look at that to get permission to do that as well.
Okay.
If we have to get permission.
Yeah.
I'm unclear as to whether we do or not.
Well, it's probably better, especially if he's going to be here. So I'm going to note that Bunker Hill washout for Jensen.
Anything else on road commissioner update?
No, just you know, the last thing I had, which I segued into before, is you know, just having the time, you know, the time to get all these things done, because it's when you start looking around, we've got at least 20 culverts that need to be replaced up on high pastures. They're popping right out of the road. I mean, if they grade, they'll hit them or clear across the road some of them. You know, so we've got lots and lots of culvert work to do. So anyway.
Question, in terms of damages from that storm that we had a while back, how much in damages did the town of Pomfret incur?
It's hard to say till we total it up.
Yeah.
You know, because we put a lot of materials in, and the guys keep track, so we can afterwards kind of figure. It's hard to sort of, at least for me, to project ahead, you know, what it's like. I mean, we've certainly spent, without exaggerating, 2 weeks, two, three man weeks working on just repairs from that. And then, of course, the mud season, it was, I think, worse than any of its been. So that's been kind of mixed in.
Which roads were the heaviest hit?
A-frame road got completely taken out, I'll say. And Webster Hill, help me, John, is there...
You had one up on Granite Ledges or Sessions Meadow. You lost something up there.
Yeah, the end of
the end of Bunker Hill Road.
That's right, the end of Bunker.
The end of Sessions Meadows. And then there's spotty stuff, you know, washouts on the side of the road, you know, numerous locations.
Coleman, you had your hand up.
Yes, who is this young man that's speaking up here?
I'm Christian Navard. I'm with the Broad Standard.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Are we done with the road commissioner report?
Sure.
Business items for possible vote. We have the local emergency management plan, and Kevin is here. That was in your packet. Did anyone find any problems with that when they looked that over?
A couple of things that minor. I did. There's a section there where there should be a select board alternate, and I didn't see a name in there. And I'm sure that this was done, and maybe it just didn't come through on the PDF copy of the LEMP. But Xing out all the various types of resources the town has. I see a bunch of NAs, but I don't see any X's where we actually do have those resources. So those X's didn't get filled out. And I guess it may not be, I don't know whether the board wants to talk about it or not, but Doug Tuttle's point that he raised with the board about primary, but we know that there's a water problem here at the town office with, if there's no power. But Doug did mention to the board.
I think in the long, long term, any short of Pomfret being cut off from getting out of Pomfret, any long term emergency shelter that's going to be set up isn't going to be in Pomfret anyways.
Right. You know, yeah, Red Cross will be in White River, yeah.
You know, we might have something where we have a short term need
right.
to have a secure place for
that's right.
people.
But yeah, just sort of a warming spot. Right. But still, you want to have a little bit of.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that it's worth a whole lot of conversation. But that I think I don't see any other major issues.
I need a motion as to.
I move that we accept the LEMP as written with the corrections and or additions that Scott mentioned.
Second.
Who should Steve? Since Steve's already on it, Steve, do you want to volunteer to be the alternate?
Sure.
So have Steve be the select board alternate.
I can type that in. And forward that on.
It sounds great.
As far as the stuff with the X's or on the equipment, that's pretty much copied from the last several LEMBs.
Are the NAs, did the NAs turn, did the X's turn into NAs or something?
No, I made no changes to that from the last one.
It's just that what's filled out are all a bunch of NAs. And
well, that's probably because that means they're not available.
Well, right. So
for resources in our town.
Okay, so that makes sense. But what's not X'd out is what we actually have. So that needs to get done.
What do you mean?
Well, so for example, just we have and this is kind of strange, right? Because let's see, for a dump truck, dump trucks, let's see, where is it? Let me find one that applies. So, wood chipper, we do have one of those.
We went through everything that we had and compared them to the master sheet from the state of Vermont to make sure that we had them listed correctly.
I guess I'm just confused, though, like because there are three different types of excavators, right? Large, medium, and compact.
Yep.
And then there's an NA under large, which is correct, but there's no X's for medium or compact. But we do have an excavator. So it's not X'd out where we actually do have particular resources. That's what I'm saying, is that there aren't any X's to indicate which, like fire engine, pumper, we have those, but there's no X's. That's what I mean.
I wonder if this didn't print properly.
Yeah, it looks like something got goofed in the saving of it as a PDF.
We have all those things filled out.
Yes, we do.
Grader, we have a grader, but it says NA.
We actually went through each one of those items.
Yeah.
Must be something.
Something got goofed. Yeah, something got
just look on the original before we send it and make sure it's there. This must have been because we did go through all of this stuff.
Yeah, I believe it. It just looks like it got goofed up, that's all.
Any other corrections? Anything that you saw that needed to be corrected, Kevin?
No.
So I need a motion to approve this LEMP so that we can send that off?
Do you want to, some, one of you guys, if I think it's you, Emily, has to sign that.
I've got to adopt it, but we've got to adopt it, and then I'll sign it for you.
Yep.
So I need a motion to adopt the LEMP as stated.
I did that, did you second it,
John?
I did, yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Here you go, Kevin. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Moving on, long-term tech systems maintenance and administration. Becky, this is your time to shine, or not, as the case may be.
I wrote it out. We talked about the server quite a bit. In speaking with Tad Richardson and Data Man, they think our server should be fine for several more years. He said anything that goes wrong with it, we should be able to get parts for it still. We can't change the way it's partitioned or the size of it. So if we did have to replace it, we'd be looking in the $6,000 to $7,000 range for something that's appropriate for our needs, whereas that one cost us over $10,000. So we don't need to spend that much because the server we have right now is overkill for what we need, but it's working for what we have. So he has a cloud backup plan that we're in the process of implementing. It's going to require a little bit of work because he brought up a bunch of points. There's a lot of stuff on that server that goes back to 2013. There's a number of different backup programs that were tried, and so there are multiple backups of the same program stored on the server in different places. So there's going to be a lot of cleaning up that has to happen before we can actually get the cloud backup working. The estimates he sent us were for about every 100 gigabytes of data you have to back up, it's going to be about $100 a month for the backups. So that's something that we want to try and pare down what we actually need versus what, you know, things that were saved that don't need to be saved. So
did you say per 100?
Per 100, yeah.
Per 100 gig?
Yes. He did note that the cloud backup does not have disaster recovery features because of the size of the data and the partitions on the server. So in the event of a catastrophic failure of the server, we wouldn't just be able to say, oh, it's okay, just take the cloud backup and restore everything. It's going to be much more complicated than that because it's so pieced out within the one server. So that's another reason we really want to take a look at what is stored on the server and how it's stored. Try and get things as compacted as we can before we get the cloud backup up and running. We did talk about the potential for putting the server in a safer space. I spoke with Tad as well as a few other IT specialists. They felt that putting the computer equipment in the vault was not a good idea because of potential damage to the records that are stored in there. Something we had not really thought through. We were looking more for the cost of what it would be to have to rewire and do all that work. And he said, well, what's the cost if you have to replace all of your documents in the event of an electrical fire within the server? So that's something they recommend. If we want to put the server in a more secure space, that the best bet is to set up a space where the server's already stored because everything's already wired there, and do a cage rather than trying to move it. Are there any questions on the server?
Are you using Carbonite? Is that going to be
Carbonite wouldn't work. because of the way that the data is partitioned. We tried for 2 years to get Carbonite to work. No line.
Did you have any questions, Scott?
I do. The big lingering issue that we really need to talk about, and Becky alluded to it, is really document management. There's documents that are on the server now, but that's not even close to all the public records that exist. And so we've talked about this in the past, where we've got records all over the place, and we don't really have a handle on what records need to be stored and what can be jettisoned and so forth. So while I get everything Becky said about, and a lot of what she said, most of it makes entirely perfect sense. But there is a major effort that needs to happen in terms of document management. I guess the thing is, and we seem to have already made a decision without making a decision, is that we have this thing called SharePoint that was purchased by previous board several years ago, and it wasn't getting used, and a couple years ago I brought it up that we weren't using it, and we started using it, and now we've abandoned it again. But SharePoint is actually an outstanding cloud backup. It's a document management system that would really serve both purposes, because you get that DR backup and you get that cloud backup of your key documents through SharePoint. So it's all well and good if the server is going to be our system of record and that's what we're going to use, that's fine. But alternatively, we could be using SharePoint. But if we're not going to use SharePoint, we need to shut it down. It's really dumb. In my opinion, it's not wise for us to be spending money on Office 365 when we're not using it. The only thing we're using it right now for is email. And we can get email a lot cheaper than what we're spending right now in arguably for free. So I think we need to have this longer conversation about if the server is going to be our bread and butter, our main IT system, that's fine. We should make all the investments to make it get it up to snuff. In my mind, that means shutting down SharePoint and Office 365. And then doing all the document sorting that needs to happen, culling everything, figuring out what needs to be kept, rather than just throwing stuff on the server, going through and carefully figuring out what needs to be stored. I mean, Becky said it too, that there's just probably a lot of different versions of backed up documents all over the place, and who knows what's what at this point.
Well, it's like there's 200 gig of ProVal backups, and that gets overwritten every time we create a new Lister card. So those old cards, everything's just sitting there.
Right.
And
well,
no longer valid.
And that's the easy stuff.
That's work product. It's just figuring out which ones are included in that versus this file versus this file.
But the more challenging stuff are the onesies, twosies, Excel files, Word documents, PDFs, you name it. There are documents all over the place. So, I really think that the board needs to, on the research that Becky's done, make a decision about whether the server is going to be our system of record and that's what we're going to go with and max it out and use it, or whether we're going to use the server for really just backing up a ProVal and Memric and key systems, but otherwise, SharePoint is our document management system. That's a key decision that we need to make. I don't see how it makes any sense at all for us to keep Office 365 alive if we're not going to use it.
You had a conversation with Tad about that, did you not?
I did, and I thought I'd printed out the email he sent back, but I can't find it out here. His concern was the cost of switching from Office 365 to a different system. He said that's really not going to be much of a cost savings. Office 365, so we're not paying for SharePoint separately. It's part of the bundle. It's just it's a feature. We also get Skype for Business. We get the Office suites for the licensed users. So it's just it's part of the larger bundle. So when we look at moving to a different system, that also we have to look at the cost that's going to take away licenses that people have for using Office products on their computers. So we won't have access, nobody will have access unless they already have it installed on their computer to Word, to PowerPoint, to Excel, to Outlook. So that's part of it too. That would mean having to buy licenses for all of those products if we're going to continue using the same versions of things, so that a document that you send to you doesn't end up having to be reformatted every time it gets sent back and forth.
Just so everybody knows, though, there are only a few people in town government, I think three or four, who actually have the level that you're talking about. Everybody.
That's for the downloaded parts.
Right. Everybody else.
Everybody has access.
Is using online.
Right, but we would no longer have access to those online systems if we didn't use Office.
But there if you so. There are all sorts of other avenues to get the same features without paying for it. I don't dismiss what you got for advice, but it's not complete advice. There's much more to it than that. But the bottom line is, whether it's a cost issue or not, it doesn't make sense to maintain two IT systems. It really doesn't. We would be better off, my opinion, and this is what I do for a living, we would be better off finding... why are you smirking?
I'm listening.
Yeah, you're also smirking. The email, there are alternatives that are a lot more effective than just trying, you know, it's we're buying a lot of software and we're not using it. That's the bottom line.
We're buying it as a bundle. That was
right.
The point I'm making. There
right.
isn't a cheaper option in this particular, for this product.
But there are a lot of ways to skin the cat, Becky, and so I don't think we're stuck in this. We have to use Office 365.
I never said that we were.
Well, it's not. But you made it sound.
I would prefer not to use Office 365.
Okay.
I would prefer that there was a simpler option. But at this point, with the information that I have been given, and with the system that we have in place right now. And the fact that you don't have anything budgeted to do a system change. We're kind of stuck where we are.
But we're not.
Until we have more information.
Yeah, we're not, though. I don't think, that's what I mean. I don't think, though, we don't have full homework on this yet.
I never said we did. This is an ongoing discussion.
Okay. So to your point, though, I don't think we're in this position where we have to stay with Office 365, and it's not just a cost thing. Cost is part of it, but it's whether it makes sense to keep this alive or not. You know, we're basically paying for and have a system that we're using really a fraction of, and that just doesn't make a lot of sense. So we can do something that's a lot simpler, a lot cleaner. Just having email, I would argue that it would be better if we buy the actual licenses for Word. I mean, we don't have to have the most current version of Word and Excel all the time. Typically, you buy the software, you use it for many years, and then you upgrade. And so that, you know, we don't have super sophisticated needs. And so we could buy a version of Office today, the disks, and use it for like 5 years. It's easy. Like I still, personally at home, I still run software that's like 10 years old and it works fine. You know, you don't have to buy the latest stuff all the time.
The problem with that is version control. So different features translate differently to different versions of the software. So I get things from people that I have to update file formatting before I can even start to look at it.
Right, so that's one person, right? You buy one.
But if I then have to send something back to them, and then they make changes and send it back to me, it's...
Right, but so you can have a copy of the latest software for your needs, but the rest of us don't need it. The rest of us could use Google Docs, for all that, you know? It doesn't really matter.
So what is Office 365 costing us a year?
I don't have that information.
It's about $1,200 to $1,300 a year.
I think it's important to have some kind of file sharing amongst the town officials other than email. And as far as I know, I mean, we can't share and have, we don't have remote access to the server,
no.
Right? So if you don't have that, I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else or as not putting everything that I create on SharePoint, especially when I create it. It is a habit thing, but it's nice when you go to find something like the minutes and you can, we can all have the same version open and edit them, but it is also cumbersome to a point finding the right stuff in there, but once you figure out what you're doing, it's not as bad. Now, whether it's SharePoint or something else, right. We need some kind of a spot, place that's file sharing, that's not the server. Now, whether that's SharePoint or Dropbox or whatever it might be, you know, I'm open to anything that works, and maybe we're spending more than we need to be spending on some features that we don't need. It's nice to have access to that online word, so if you're using a device that doesn't have it, you can use it. But also those online, the online word, the online Excel, they're also limited. They don't have the full features of the downloadable thing either. But, you know, I found out when I started trying to make up the first agenda, I couldn't add boxes. It won't let you do that online. You've got to have the physical version of it.
The thing is, and I've said this now for a while, is if we have it, we should use it. If we're not going to use it, we shouldn't have
it.
Well,
I think the point with SharePoint, and I personally like it. I would also like to know how to use it more effectively. But I particularly like being able to go in there and say, okay, here's the latest budget version that we have. The problem that I see is that we as lay people don't really have the training to use it as effectively as we could and get as much out of it. And I'm not a computer whiz, and you all know that, so I'm not ashamed to say so. That being said, I think with a SharePoint or Office 365 tutorial that we could be a lot more effective. We could put the documents in a fashion and a place where we all could find them readily. One of the things that I find most frustrating is there are so many different places that you can put the document that you may or may not find the latest document that you've been working on. Or you may, but if with a tutorial, I think the system could work quite nicely for us. And I think that might be a wise expenditure of money. Every time you change a system, if you've got three of us that can sort of use it, now we're going to have to start all over again. I'm not sure that's, and of course all the other office personnel that can use it, I'm not sure that's particularly efficient either. I do think it's important that we also have whatever it is that is orientated toward a business and not toward private use. I think that we'd be making big mistakes if we were just going to get something like Gmail that anybody could get into that isn't secure, and I think that might be a mistake. So. But what I'm saying is I think SharePoint has, and I'm not a computer whiz, I think SharePoint has some real positive things to it, and so, you know, I wouldn't necessarily just want to scrap it all of a sudden. I do think we could use it more effectively if we got someone that was really good at it to show us some of the tricks of the trade, so to speak.
So, you know, I said this a couple of years ago, and I guess I'll say it again, is that, and I said it a little bit ago, if we're going to use it, let's use it. But we keep going in these, you know, we use it, then we stop using it, we use it, we stop using it, and we're not really being consistent about it. And for a while, with the select board, we really did have the habit, and I don't dispute that there's more that folks could learn, but we were actually doing a pretty good job at sharing files over SharePoint for a while. part of the problem is that it's just a select board. And so everybody needs to be using SharePoint. If we're going to adopt SharePoint as our document management system and use it for document sharing, everybody's got to use it. And so we all need to get on board. And so when we're getting documents from Becky, we need to stop emailing them. We need to put them in SharePoint and then send the link around. And this becomes particularly important down the road, not just in the immediate day-to-day sharing of documents, but from a data archiving standpoint, is we got a bit of a nightmare on our hands because there are documents everywhere. And at some point in the future, right now, we're in this position of save everything, because we're not deleting anything. We're basically amassing more and more data as each day goes by, and we're not figuring out what among that data we actually are required to keep. Right now we're keeping it all, but at some point that's going to become unmanageable. And so by having documents spread all over the place, and by having a default policy of like keeping everything, we're just going to have a mountain of data where it's going to be impossible to cull it. So this is another reason why we should, if we're going to use SharePoint, everybody needs to be using it, because then it becomes our way of managing data and archiving it, and we know where it is. And then it becomes easier as time goes by to say, oh yeah, the data in that folder, we can clean it out and get rid of the old stuff and keep the new. Or whatever, but that's another reason why we should, if we're going to use SharePoint, we should use it. But whatever we decide, it really should apply to everybody, not just the select board.
When you say everything, though, you're talking about shared documents that everybody needs to be working on together. We're looking at it from the standpoint of office products. So I have to scan tax bills, things like that that I need to have temporary storage for. That's fine. We keep it on the server until everything's sent. And then we have a system which we go through and we clean out and delete things that are already physical copies that we have in the land records or that we have in our records that you don't need to keep that digital copy. And we have disposition records from the Secretary of State's office and the Vermont State Archives. They give us a schedule and say, these are the documents that you need to keep for this long. So that's something that Ellen and I are already actively doing in our own computer systems, and our computers back up directly to the server. And that's been that way since TAG came on board. So our documents are working documents that I need to have, right in front of me, and they get edited very frequently. So for me, using SharePoint is quite unwieldy because I can just turn my computer on, here's the document I need, it's right in front of me. I don't have to go into SharePoint, open this folder, find what I was working on, make sure it's the right version. That, for our work that we're doing here, it makes much more sense for us to store the documents here, where we're working, on the server, or on our computers that then copy everything to the server. And for backups, like, for instance, we just had Ellen's computer had a catastrophic fail. And we were able to recreate her entire hard drive based on all of the documents that were automatically being backed up to the server. If all of those documents were stored on SharePoint instead of the server, it would have taken a huge amount of manpower and hours to get that information then put back where she could be working on it.
That's just not true, Becky, because you can back an image up to SharePoint. So if you take an image...
You can back an entire disk image?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, nope. My understanding was that we didn't have that much storage space on SharePoint.
We've got we've got a lot of storage space on SharePoint. So we're like at 1 or 2% of our storage capacity right now.
Okay, that's information that I did not have, yeah. Because so, the last time that we had talked about capacity on SharePoint was a year or so ago, and it was discussed. Yeah, we didn't have enough space.
No, we have a lot. We're barely scratching the surface on capacity. So, I mean, what you're describing is just a change in process. I mean, everything that you describe can be done on SharePoint. It's just you've got a process that you've already established. And I get that it would be a pain for you to change it. But I guess what I'm saying is that it doesn't really make sense, not only from from systems management perspective, but also from a records management system, to have two systems where you're managing records. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And to me, I think it would be better to talk to Tad and those guys to talk about why couldn't we have the server be a document management system? I mean, you're already using it for document management. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't the select board use it?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you? Speaking for myself and Ellen, I've spoken extensively as to the listers, the auditor, we prefer the system that we have in place right now.
So
we know where our documents are stored. It's easy to train somebody coming in how to do everything because it's intuitive. It's the way that you would work with your own home computer. It's everything's stored in front of you. I don't want to step on toes. I'm an independently elected official. I am in charge of a certain amount of things like document management for my office. I intend to store those documents as I see fit. And in the process, or in a way that works for me and works for the people that work with me. So regardless of what the select board decides to do with your documents that you're sharing, that you're working with, your working documents, I intend to continue storing my documents and working in the system the way that I do now.
So, but you do understand that the select board controls the assets. So we are the ones who decide what assets the town uses, including the clerk and the treasurer.
The town already possesses the server. We are not paying anything extra for it. I think that if you were to put it to a vote of the town, that I think that they would probably, I feel pretty confident that they would say that we're doing a good job here and that things are being managed well.
Nobody's saying otherwise. To me, the point I'm making is that it doesn't make a lot of sense for a document management system, from a public records management system, for us to have two different systems. So
I'm not arguing that.
Okay, so all I'm trying to get to is let's figure out which one.
I'm not. I mean, I definitely get the two separate systems, but I'm not quite sure we want to manage our public documents on a shared document cloud server. And I think there's a lot of reasons to have the public documents that you and Ellen deal with. Property records and tax bills, and I mean, why would you put that on something like SharePoint?
I don't see a need to put like my dog license forms on SharePoint.
Right.
Well,
templates from letters that I have to write.
Then you get to and I know you can set different permissions in there, but then who within the elected officials gets to see that? Just you and it. Ellen, or is that kit opened up to the select board? I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable having access via SharePoint to all of that stuff. I mean, yeah, I can come in here as a taxpayer. Any taxpayer can come in and get any of those documents.
Well, just so everybody knows, right now, as it stands, even though it's only the select board using SharePoint, there's no restrictions. Like, anybody can see any of the documents that the select board stores right now on SharePoint. So there's no, we have not set permissions. So, I mean, you're talking about documents that they manage, but in terms of documents that we have created and managed, you know, if Becky wants to look at them, she can. So there's no restriction today. I guess that, again, you know, going back to the original point, is I really think that we need to unify around one or the other. And it sounds like things are gravitating toward the server, and we should just figure out how to make the server work as our system of record. And I would be fine with that. It doesn't make a ton of sense for the select board to be on one system and everybody else on something else. And especially when the select board itself wavers from month to month or week to week in whether we're even using SharePoint, right?
Well, that's definitely an issue, but I think SharePoint for the select board, in my mind, is, and maybe you can do something that's simpler and more cost effective and works just as well, is file sharing.
Sure.
For the select board.
Yeah, you can.
But the board needs something to be able to share those documents other than email, and the server isn't going to do that, so we're still going to have two forms of something. It might not be as sophisticated as SharePoint, but we're going to have something that we're going to use
for a
repository for at least our working documents. Then maybe once the documents are finalized, those all get uploaded for keeping on the town server. So once the minutes have been approved at a meeting, you know, and have a copy of all of our agendas that have come and gone on the actual town server.
Right.
I think that's totally fine, but there still has to be some kind of a basically an interweb for the select board at least, and anybody else that's a town official that wants to take advantage of it, whether they choose to or not, for us to share the documents other than email.
I'm sure if Tad or Curry, probably, or Dataman, they could figure out a way to get documents into the server in some way that, you know, there's got to be another solution short of having to maintain two different systems. So to me, that's just an inquiry we need to make with Tad and Dataman. But I would think that they could figure out how to make that work.
Autumn, you had a question?
Yeah, I do. Becky and Alan, like Becky just stated, is an elected official. Now, it's my understanding that the select board is not their bosses. They're their own bosses, correct?
That's not what we're talking about.
Correct.
That's Alan? Right.
Okay. Then how can a select board member sit up there and make threats that the town owns all of this equipment, so you either go my way or...
It's not...
Because that is the exact situation that we just heard.
That's not what you heard, Ona. What you heard is that the select board... So I'll give you a prime example. This building and the ultimate maintenance of this building, the select board is responsible for that.
You're responsible for it. The town owns this building. My tax dollars pay for this building. And do not sit there and tell me what I just heard. Ears work just fine.
Well, sometimes I wonder.
You were making a threat to Becky
Ona, I did not make a threat to Becky. All I said...
Listen to your recording. Just remember, Becky, that the select board owns all these assets.
No, I said controls.
No, you did not.
You said
owns. To your recording. My ears work just fine.
Well, I will clarify what I said. And so...
Oh, you're going to change it now, just like everything else.
Yeah.
But
okay, Ona.
If it's not broke, don't try to fix it.
Ona...
Yes, Scott?
I'm not trying to... It is broken, okay?
It is not broken. It's working just fine for Ellen and Becky.
So I have concurred with everything Becky has said about her process and what works for her. I have not disputed that one bit. What I'm saying is that from an IT management standpoint, it makes no sense whatsoever for this town to have two separate systems. So whether it's the server or Office 365 or something else, we should figure out a way to simplify this.
And you have been sitting here for months on end. This isn't the first time, like you said. You guys use SharePoint, then you don't use SharePoint. You were trying to push something down their throats that you want. Not what is best
how,
for them.
Ona, how am I trying to shove something down somebody's throat?
Just by sitting here listening to you for the last 15 minutes.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
This is getting out of control.
It is.
This is a $1,200 expense on over $1 million budget, and we've spent enough time on it tonight, and we'll bring it up another time. This is getting out of control. And now we will go on to driveway permit Laredo Zola. Frank, you went and looked at that?
Yep.
Did you, Scott, or not?
I did not.
And I went and looked at that, and Frank emailed at me that he had gone. They would need a lot of fill to get it up to the 20 feet to be level, and we should note that in the permit. I agree with that. They don't need a culvert. My concern is for what they're doing with it, it's just fine. However, if they come out of that driveway and they have to stay, if they're on their plateau and they stay out of the road to the west, there's a large row of large maple trees. And for an occasional use now and then, and considering the use of that Old Kings Highway road, it's probably just fine. But there is a sight distance issue. And I would feel that we should make some note of that if this becomes a permanent driveway for a permanent home or something like that. And when I spoke to Frank about it before the meeting, he kind of concurred. So I don't know how you want to. I don't know how you want to do that.
The sight distance between the trees are there.
Well, if when the trees leaves are on, and if you had your car at the edge of the road, in order to see people coming from Orson St. John's, you would have to look through many large maple trees. And probably the sight distance would be okay if you told them they had to keep the brush underneath the maples cut so that, you know, they could kind of see between the maples. But they are there, and they are obstructing the view.